Accession number 29909, reel 7.
Jim lost reel 7. What was your reaction to hearing that the war had ended?
Pardon?
What was your reaction to hearing that the war had ended?
Well, thankful. You know, I run up to, where is it? Up to Halifax, but the point is, see, I come back to sort out a divorce and that bombing business, you know. And I had papers to go down to Norwich to finalise a divorce and then sort out the bloody family situation where I took my son. And, you know, the father said, don't take the girl, don't, you know, and pleaded out. He said, I'll go to the solicitor rather. I thought, well, you're wasting your time, because if you go and see the solicitor, I'm friendly with John, so, I mean, you'd be wasting your time. Not only that, it's a government divorce, so, I mean, that was all settled, you know. But I didn't want, you know, make anything of it, because he was over the top, and I thought, well, I've got a bloody problem. I've got to take the son home, back to my own home, you know, and get sorted. And I left the daughter there. And she got married, and it's only now, 2 years ago, that we got together. And I was ringing last night, she rang me last night, and that poor beggar. What made me riled is my son's sitting on 6 figures now, that one, you know, without a teacher. She's not doing so bad, but not in halfway in the position. But she didn't have the life that he had, because my mother idolised him, bought him bloody cars. He mortgaged one of the houses for his own house to be built. You know, I didn't know nothing about that, you know. And the point is, well, he done well out of it on the quiet. Plus, when I came home, he was working, eventually he got into Vickers on the drawing board, and the trouble is they folded up, and Jack, that used to live there, ran the office with the three princes, and he'd come to me, he said, it's a really shame, he said, Peter's so bloody clean work and whatnot, it'd be a shame for him to go off the drawing board. So I said, well, what, he said, well, I said, I know he's a bit of a free, what do you call it, he's been walked this day, just like, well, I don't know where they'll get it from, but doctors used to bring rolls of paper down to murders, help tips, whatever they were, and get him to, you know, do the walkness and that for the children's wards in the hospital, you know. He'd rip them off semi-life size, you know. Used to worry mother a bit because he used to gallivant out till about 11 o'clock at night with girls like, you know, or like everybody else. And the mother got on to him. In the morning, the whole lot was done in a matter of an hour, you know, sort of thing, you know. He was like that. And that was the question of whether I got him into that or architecture. I went to the town and I see a freelance fella. He said, it's hard, really work. There's no scope. But I brought up architecture. He said, now you're talking a different language. If you can get him into that, you know, a better world for him. So I went and see the county architect, John Cleese, which I knew first. I went in and I said, Hans, and they said, we see each other a bit regular, don't we? Well, of course I did. That was before the war. He was growing up, look, 17 years. And I said, what's the problem? So I said, well, I told him about Peter. I said, Jack is on about him, how clean worker. Christ, he said, I haven't got an opening, you know, can't it? I said, well, I don't know. I said, when you go past the college, I have a look and see what Jack's on about. That was like Monday. So, end of the week, well, maybe Thursday or Friday night, he rang me up. He said that I looked at his work, and I was utterly impressed. And I'm going to get an opening for him for his college, plus one day at Cambridge.
What was your attitude towards the Germans during the war?
After that business in Norway, I assumed they were no more interested in the war than what we were. That's my attitude. Well, it wasn't. You see, they were just dictated into what they'd done. They lost a hell of a lot. I mean, that was a beautiful country, that Cologne and all that. The smashing, you know, what they lost and bombed and smashed up, you know. They didn't want that. The trouble was, with the Germans, was the Nazi side built up, like we was told to go into Norway and sort out the Quisling side. You see, you got that bracket, the same as what you got now. You've got these here blooming soldiers involving these youngsters. If it weren't for them, they wouldn't be doing this business of blowing themselves up. Love a duck. They would be trying to get them children sorted out to come up the way they should come up, you know. But they've been pumped into this here business, you know. You do this, I'll do that for you when you blow yourself up. Well, what life are they trying to pump into them, you know? There's no answer to that. And there's no easy way of solving that until you get it across to them that, you know, there's no such world, you know.
And how do you feel now about the war as a whole?
To me, everybody should say enough's enough and get them home and stop this here policing, because it's up to them to police themselves and sort themselves out. That Zambia is now waking up to the fact that they're escalating. It's costing lives to do it, but no more lives than anybody going in there and involving themselves with it. You know, it's up to people, the souls, to sort the souls out, you know. Ireland has now woke up to the fact they've got nowhere on that issue. It seems so there could be a bit of peace there now. But look at that, looking around there. And that's my way. I don't think you should police countries unless you get down to the fact of what basically it's all about, you know. And truthfully, the whole thing is finance. No matter which way you look at it, you know.
And how do you regard the Second World War now? How do you regard now the Second World War as a whole?
Well, we just walked into it because that man just took in the idea that he wanted to rule the world the same as, well, what our generations have always seemed to have done. Way back around of us, we owned three parts of the world once, so our custom has never been different, has it? You know, it's still there. We sort of seem to want to be the people that tell other people what to do, you know, and not leave people to their own lives, you know, to sort themselves out, help them to get off the ground. They say, we got problems, you know, drought problems and all that stupid problems. Now they talk about rain clouds, they can flood this and they can flood that. So, you've got your answers. There's no need to be droughts. And the money that's squandered on wars and that could be rebuilt, that there would be no reason for droughts and hunger and all that. With the amount of money that's squandered, well, to get nowhere, I mean, there's no answer to all what's going on. They're spending billions of pounds trying to dominate people to think they're going to go their way. It's going to take a hell of a lot to change a lot of people's minds, because they're in a cycle. They don't know where they are until they get to realise which is the best way out of it. You know, that's the way I look at it.